The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Now, a report this week from Children's Books Ireland has shown that more than one in five Irish children under the age of four are not being read to at all. And almost a quarter of teenagers don't read for pleasure. Joining me now to discuss, we have Jenny Murray, Deputy CEO from Children's Books Ireland. And we have Patricia Ford, children's author on the line, and Dr. Joanna Fortune on the line as well. Jenny, you might give us an explainer of this, the findings of this report, first of all.
Yeah, so we're Children's Books Ireland and we're the national charity and arts organisation that champions every child's right to be a reader. And what we mean by that is access to become a reader and to read for pleasure. And so part of our remit is to understand how we can impact our work in the best way possible. So we carried out this survey. It was carried out by Ipsos BNA in December at the end of last year. It's a national representative online omnibus survey and it's quota controlled. And the findings, I suppose, are quite stark. So what the key findings were, as you were mentioning there, is one in five children under the age of four are not being read to. 24% of Irish teenagers, almost 25%, are not reading for pleasure. And book ownership in the home is dropping off. And so what that all shows us is that children don't have access to books. And we need to improve on that and fix that as a problem.
Is it screens are replacing the books?
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's screens is an enormous challenge. Obviously, people, more and more adults are they're time poor and they're not modelling reading, so they're not seeing reading in the home. And then obviously the book ownership in the home is a massive one, because if children don't have access to books, then where are they going to get access to books? And so we need to meet children where they're at. And to do that for universal access, it really is into schools. You need to be catching children in those educational settings. And the problem is, in 2008, the government pulled the school libraries grant. So there's no new books going into schools. There's no books going into schools at all that encourage reading for pleasure or reading for joy.
And it is, the reading for pleasure is so important, isn't it? Because you don't want children associating books with school.
Correct.
You know, and not the stories, the fun, the comedy that goes with reading.
And it's about, you know, the access is a massive point, but it's also about giving them choice. And if you don't give them choice to high quality literature that's representative, that they can see themselves in, they can see their own, you know, lives reflected in it, that they can see Irish artists. And that's really important as well, because that showcases their own lived experiences and lives.
Yeah.
And if we're not providing that access to those books, for children to those books, then we're never going to make them into readers or readers for pleasure. And it really has dropped off and it's a real challenge. I mean, the one about, you know, one to five children under the age of four not being read to is a really hard statistic, I think, for people to read. And I think for people with young children, you know, that one is very, very stark, and that's really fixable.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, obviously we're in a cost of living crisis. Not everybody has books in the home and we can fix that. There's libraries, books are free. It's all about building a habit, I suppose, as well, building in that time, ring fencing that time in the evening. And once you build a habit in early years, and it's so, so important, it'll carry them through life.
Yeah. And listen, parents are busy. We get it. You know, this isn't
enormously
a lecture.
So,
you know, we're all probably going, well, I could definitely carve more time out to read with my children. There's no doubt about it. This is not anything completely new, Jenny, is it? There has been a long term decline.
There's been a long-term decline, and the figures and statistics we see here are backed up by, there's a longitudinal study called Growing Up in Ireland study. I don't think people would be enormously surprised in the fact that there's a higher fall off in boys than girls. Excuse me, that's information that would be common knowledge. But all of these statistics and findings are reflected in the UK, in Europe and internationally. And you're quite right. It is against all the rise of screens. But there's other things we can do to fix as well.
OK, so, but it isn't just an Irish problem.
It's not just an Irish problem. Very much an international problem. Yeah.
OK, we have Dr. Joanna Fortune on the line, psychotherapist and author. Good morning to you, Joanna.
Good morning, Anna. Good morning, Jenny. How are you?
I'm having two feelings here, Joanna. I'm going to lay it out bare, right? I'm having feelings of delight that I spent the time on the lovely Julia Donaldson come straight to mind, you know, the Gruffalo and all of that series of gorgeous books, because you get so much from a child reading with them, and the conversations and the stories they'll share because they can relate to something in the story. And then I'm having a pang of, we haven't done it enough recently. So I'm sure there's parents, if we're all honest with ourselves, are possibly feeling both of those things hearing this conversation.
I think you're spot on, actually. I think it is somewhere in between. And this is, you know, I was really interested in this research and listening to Jenny there. Actually, almost 15 years ago, I think it was around 2011, there was other research that came out that looked at how Irish parents who work outside of the home, 60% of them said they were too tired to read to their children at night at the end of a day. And that's nearly 15 years ago. And now we're looking at that steady decline that we're, you know, it's quite stark to see that even knowing this, knowing it is one thing, taking action is the next step. And I really think, and I don't want this, Anna, to sound like, you know, bashing parents or giving parents a hard time because I'm a parent who works outside of home. So are you. Like, yep. We get it. And, you know, I really do understand how tired you are. But also, if you do nothing else in your day but read that story, that story gives you a myriad of social benefits with your child. It's usually happening, not always, but usually happening at that wind down part of the day. It's a way of winding children down. You're coming down to their eye level. There's close physical proximity. There might even be an arm around a shoulder while you're reading. You have a shared experience. You're really strengthening the parent-child bond. You're increasing emotional understanding because they can explore through stories and their own emotions and begin to understand those better, but also that empathy piece about perspective taking and what might others be thinking and feeling and why might others do and say these things. Children then integrate that and carry it forward into their day-to-day lived experience. So all of those little microaggressions that, and maybe not so micro, that can go on in school and the yard, you know, you're not in, you're cheating, you're out, I don't want to play with you. They have these experiences to draw on about thoughts, feelings, actions, others' perspective. So critical thinking, analytic skills, empathy development, all of that is happening, as well, of course, as the cognitive stimulation and problem solving and the literacy and language skills. There's so much benefit from just that story every single day. So if there's nothing else happening, I would say to parents, make sure you're getting that in.
Yeah, it's a little reminder. Like you say, we're not lecturing anyone. We're all guilty of feeling too tired and thinking, oh, listen, we'll do it tomorrow, we'll do it next week. There's a benefit for adults as well, I would say, Joanna, because your mind almost dines out on the fact that you've spent that time with the child and then you've, you know, you've garnered other information about what happened in the classroom or, you know, with their friends on the road, whatever. It's amazing.
Yeah, because in a story, I mean, let's face it, there was a little bunny or bear out there having every life crisis known to child. So it's also a very clever way to get a parental agenda across, to get exploring and wondering about things. And, oh, if you were the bunny or if you were the bear, what would you do? We've always played a little game. We call it, if we were watching a TV show, we call it the director game, or reading a book, the author game, where we say, if you were writing this story and you'd made up the character, what new character would you introduce now and what difference would they make to the story? So you can really draw out that more imaginative play skills. But it is also good for us adults. You know, W.H. Auden, the poet, once wrote that there are good books which are only for adults because they presuppose adult experience, but there are no good books which are only for children. Adults will absolutely benefit from reading. It's something I do myself. If I'm honest with you, I'm a huge fan of children's books. I think you can't beat a good children's book. But I also find when I regularly read and reread what are so-called children's books, not only to my child now I'm talking about, but just for myself, there's usually a reason I have felt drawn to a particular children's book. It, you know, I might not recognize it in the moment, but, you know, it could be a theme, an experience, an emotion that compelled me to choose that. And when I look back on the books I loved as a child, and I reread them now as an adult, I feel them in a very different way. And some of that may well have washed over my head as a child, but actually there's a resonance to it and a familiarity and a comfort that comes with doing that. So I think, you know, and let's hold in mind, fairy tales were never intended to be just for children, you know, especially the original Grimm's versions of them. But they're stories that have crossed cultures and generations across time spans. And that's something we should really embrace and hold on to, that this is not just for our children, it's for us.
Yeah, Jenny and I both nodding along here to you, Joanna. let me read out a few texts before I go to children's author Patricia Ford. I've been reading to my kids since they were babies. They're 10, 8 and 5 and now, and they love reading. I have very fond memories of my mum and dad reading to me as a kid. That's lovely to have that, isn't it? Message, I can't get my kids to read. They are on computer games and watching TV. I didn't grow up in a house where we read. Any advice? We'll come back to that in a second, Joanna. Parents using iPads as a proxy parent risk impairing their child's ability to develop focus, imagination and emotional self-regulation during the early reading experiences. And someone else says, I love reading to my son at night. It's really bonding experience. He's three now and loves our book time. Patricia Ford, you're one of the people responsible for the wonderful children's books. Are you there with us?
I am. Thank you.
I'm reading your notes on this. You find it very depressing, understandably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find it depressing that children are missing out.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it was a huge part of my childhood, storytelling, listening to stories and eventually reading stories to myself. I do believe that reading in Ireland has a kind of a particular resonance. You know, we are a nation of storytellers. I believe we're inherently very creative as a people. And what worries me is that technology will blend us out, that our children will grow up the same way as a child will grow up in any country in the world. They should have and they want to have a strong sense of identity. And part of that identity is that they love stories, they love reading, and that they are creative. You know, our children have spent years and years and years of watching children playing. That's what we did. We saw children play and have time to play. And I know for a lot of children, that play was informed by the books that they read. And also, I'll tell you what drives me slightly mad is I do see it as a really simple fix. This is not like a big, expensive project. It's not like they're going to need open heart surgery. They're going to need 10 minutes a day from someone who cares about them to sit and read to them. I think our teachers are doing a fantastic job. I think in recent studies, we saw that for literacy, the ability to be able to read, we were second in the world only to Singapore. That comes down to our parents and our teachers. And just to get back quickly to that thing of, you know, they come home with the school notebook and you've done a hard day's work yourself and you sit down with them and you make the time and you do the math and you do the bit of phonics or the bit of reading that the teacher has asked you to do. Because of that, we have literate children. The trouble is we haven't always said equally important is that you give them a love of reading. And sometimes it's as simple as reading aloud to them at any age. That listener who said there, my child doesn't want to read. You know yourself when you're reading, and sometimes the first page, there'll be something on the first page that'll put you off.
Yeah.
It might be, I don't know, a concept or a name you don't know. Or for me, it would be geography. Geography is my bugbear. If they started talking about how to get to places, well, then I'm gone. I don't
want
readers anymore. I'm out. So I think for children, because they're less experienced readers than we are. If you think of them like that, they just have less experience. They don't know that if they get over the first page, it'll all be okay. So for us as adults, what we can do to help them is read that first chapter. It doesn't matter what age they are. Read the chapter to where you get to a point where the child is saying, well don't stop now. I need to know what happens. And that's the point where you say, well, if you want to know what happens, you're going to have to read on.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice, actually, because you've gone over the hurdle that they might not have. Jenny, you're nodding. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree totally with that. And the advice that Patricia has there is spot on, because actually, you know, children do know their own minds very clearly. They do have strong opinions and they don't read in the same way that adults read, in that an adult will persevere. If a book is given to them and it's a Booker Prize winning book, they might read, as Patricia says, it might start with geography and they hate it, but they'll persevere because they feel they have to. But a child will put that book down and they won't come back to it. So Patricia's advice of sitting with them, going through that first chapter together, getting them over the hurdle and then getting into the story and letting them go, and then they're off and they can live in their imaginations. And that's brilliant advice.
I think so too. Joanna, can I just ask you, for that very honest text you're saying she can't get her kids to read?
Yeah.
You know, it's about kids love fun. And if I'm thinking of my house, my children love stories where people are being naughty.
Yeah.
You know, because they buy into that, the naughtiness.
Absolutely. And it's a safe way to be cheeky and get to say words you might not be allowed to say day to day in school. So it's a really nice way to play with boundaries and limits and to do it in a safe way. I think, and I hear this so much, that question was, I was nodding immediately ago, and I hear it all the time. I work with children of an age where they become what I'm going to call reading resistant because the gaming begins to become more active. I think we have to make reading appealing and relevant to their interests as they grow and develop. And that can be that you start by finding books that are based on the games or extrapolating the themes in the games and finding books that are resonant with those themes. And a lot of, you know, those really popular games that are marketed at children do have books and activity books that are drawn out from them. Graphic novels can be a great way to get a reluctant reader into reading as well. And I think something I love to do is encourage some creative writing. So if they're really into a game, let's design our own book or comic book. Even sometimes we just start with doing a cover and a blurb at the back. How would you write this as a book? Let's do the blurb. What would be the chapter list? Bit of fan fiction, that type of thing that can bridge the gap between the digital world and the written word or the written world even. And I would say, it, you know, use whatever is of interest to them, even if it's gaming, as inspiration. You know, just really get into what is it about that game that they like, and then go.
Yeah.
The bookshop, especially dedicated children's bookstores, the staff that work there are incredible people.
I completely agree, Joanna.
Same in the libraries. You go in and say, this is what my child loves to do. And they'll say, come with me. I've got a book that will get you there.
Yeah. So and there's cozy really corners cool. And everything. I completely agree with you. Libraries. Someone says, all free now. No joining fee. The most wonderful selection of books, story times, no fines on late return of books. That's a new one. Or it is to me. Open every day. Catherine in Cork. Very good point. Well made. Jenny Murphy, Deputy CEO from Children's Books Ireland. Dr. Joanna Fortune, psychotherapist and author, and children's author Patricia Ford. Thank you very much. A reminder to all of us parents, carve out that time. It is so important and so precious as well.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.